you're basically placed into a government institutional schooling as early as 4 years old, and definitely by 5 years old. And if you go through college, by the time you get out of college, and certainly if you come out with a master's degree, you will have been in a government institution for all of your formidable years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the human brain really doesn't stop developing proper. It hasn't fully developed until you're about 25 years old, as you know.
Right.
So a young person who is in that system and constantly bombarded and indoctrinated into a belief system, I mean, it's not really a big difference between that and a cult.
Right.
Psychologically speaking, it's an indoctrination process. It's done by design.
She's truly a breath of fresh air. Tracy ignites dreams. And when you walk away from a meeting with Tracy Martin, you walk away with what I call a ripple effect.
And the type of energy that was radiating from her was like a ripple effect. I never met someone like her before, and I knew that her intentions were pure, and she spoke nothing but the truth.
I couldn't imagine, honestly, anybody else who I've ever met in my life being as helpful as Tracy's been towards me and the rest of my family.
Whatever problem you've got, however dark it may be, there is no judgment, there is no finger pointing, there is only healing.
Check in with Tracy. Do the work. You got this.
Welcome to TLM Nation. I'm your host, Tracy Martin. This podcast exists to make you think and ask questions, to amplify the voices of Gen Z and those that are doing good out in the world, to lift the veil on some truths that we all need to hear, and to have transparent conversations that lead to change. It is time to be bold. TLM Nation podcast starts now.
Hello, and welcome back to TLM Nation. We are back on this with my friend Todd. You guys know that we did a great one about a month ago, and I told you that we're going to make this a series. I wanted this to be lifting the veil. I wanted this to be information, questions, knowledge, but don't stop there, okay? I want you guys to do your own research. And in the last episode we did with Todd, we included all of his books. We listed every single one. We want you guys to go get these and ask questions. We don't want to just be the one. Our job is to give you truth. Your job is to decide how much you want to take that and figure that out. So today, we are going to talk about the psychological warfare of the American people. And this is a great topic. Todd and I have spoken about it in the past. We talk about it off camera too. But I really wanted to bring this into the podcast studio because I think we're ready to have these conversations. A few years ago, you might not have been. So one place I want to jump into, and we just talked about this, was I don't know where I read this exactly, but I will dig into it before I release this podcast. But it was the four steps of desensitization, demoralization, dehumanization, and then normalizing it, or normalization. And so one thing I had said to Todd was that, you know, they say three generations, but you corrected me. And what did you say?
I believe Hitler was the one who said that it give me the children young enough and I'll have it changed. I'll have their complete morals, attitudes, and beliefs changed in one generation.
And why do you think he was so confident in that? What was the caveat?
Okay, so part of his genius was the destruction of the family. And it's what we're seeing right now in America and in many places across the world. So when you separate a child from its parents, you become the parent. You'll be able to take over the influence of that child and the beliefs of that child. So that child will then, any interactions they have with any other adult, parents or other family members, begin to believe in the state as the truth and not their parents. So if you think about it this way, 24 hours in a day, you got about 10 hours in school, got a few hours at home doing homework, mom and dad come home from work, couple hours of around the
dinner table,
and then it's autopilot into watching TV. The time that the parents are influencing is this amount of time. The time that the state is influencing is this amount of time. And of course the TV is a control
programmer.
Absolutely.
So if we look back, I mean, so we just watched a documentary, you guys, I want to link it in here, called The Great Awakening. And so some of this might be from there too. But when we look back at, we talked about a gentleman by the name of G. Edward Griffin. You mm-hmm. mentioned you heard some things from him about 20 years ago that really impacted you. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So it was funny. I mean, like 20, 25 years ago, we actually got cassette tapes. So probably younger people listening won't know what a cassette tape is, but
they buy them at the vintage store.
Do they? Okay, awesome. So we literally got a series of tapes, and I forget what the series was all about, but one of the tapes in there was G. Edward Griffin, The Creature from Jekyll Island. And The Creature from Jekyll Island was a tape that blew the lid off of how the Federal Reserve came about and all of the things that went into creating this company that is neither federal nor is it a reserve. It's a privately owned corporation that now controls and owns our money supply. And so he wrote a book. You can find it anywhere. Books are sold, Amazon or whatever.
Okay.
And you can find The Creature from Jekyll Island.
It's
an easy, short read of a book. It's not difficult at all. I highly recommend everybody reads it. It's still relevant today. And he blows a lid off of how basically in private, a group of international bankers got together on Jekyll Island, which is off the coast of, I think, it's either North Carolina or South Carolina. It's one of the Carolinas.
Oh, it's in the U.S.
It's still there today.
Okay.
It's still there. And the mansion where the Federal Reserve was actually developed is still there today. And you can go there, and there's a plaque in that mansion that says the Federal Reserve was developed here or something to those effects. I've never been there to see it, but I've talked to people who've been there. He was the one who wrote the book, Creature from Jekyll Island, and he explained the entire process of how they did this essentially in the cover of night.
Wow.
And they wound up getting congressmen and senators to go along with it and give up our entire control of our money supply to international bankers.
So how much of that do you think, I mean, because we know that the truth, because the last podcast we did, we talked about all this stuff too. Mm-hmm. But how much do you think that influences someone's psyche to where they feel like someone is actually looking out for them? It's like they almost like give away their ability to have to mm-hmm. take control of everything. And we talked a lot about like highly educated people, and don't come at me because it's the truth. Highly educated people who are almost to the point of they trust the institution mm-hmm. so much. They've been in the institutions for so long. They no longer question. Mm-hmm. And I think we've seen this definitely, I mean, hyperdrive in the last few years.
Yeah.
So where do you think that is? Why do you think that we have a highly educated person who no longer discerns or can mm-hmm. dissect conversations? What do you think that does? Where do you think the psyche comes from on that?
Well, it's part of the control mechanism. It's part of it's by design. They want, you know, you're basically placed into a government institutional schooling as early as 4 years old, and definitely by 5 years old. And if you go through college, by the time you get out of college, and certainly if you come out with a master's degree, you'll have been in a government institution for all of your formidable years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, human brain really doesn't stop developing proper. It hasn't fully developed until you're about 25 years old, as you know.
Right.
So a young person who is in that system and constantly bombarded and indoctrinated into a belief system, I mean, it's not really a big difference between that and a cult. Psychologically speaking, it's an indoctrination process. It's done by design.
So by design would be layers, right? So mm-hmm. if we look at like film and media, like we talked about, you look at like years ago. So why do you think it is so, like I said, hyperdrive, which I know we can attribute it to. I mean, I believe social media is like it's a tool, and it's also not a good tool.
Oh, yeah, it could be a weapon, or it could be a tool for creation.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think that like Tom and I were talking about this, like generationally, like our parents and our grandparents, you know, how much did they really question because so much of this was being done and so much groundwork was being laid? Because he asked me the other day, do you think this was done to us? I go, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But we have a different way of seeing things now.
Right.
You know, so what do you think like older generations, when they saw these systems being built.
Mm-hmm.
So do you? Because I read who was the he was a Nazi Germany. He was a Nazi in Germany. He worked with Pavlov. I'll have to figure out what that was. But he was talking about that they wanted to go in and take over Germany and Russia, mm-hmm. because they could do it by way of the mind.
Yeah.
So he likened like Pavlov's dog. Not only looked forward to the food and would do whatever he wanted to do, but mm-hmm. he started salivating when he heard his mm-hmm. footsteps.
Mm-hmm. The reward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's the reward. So where do you think, like, if we look like two generations before us, you know, how do you think they were able to lay these bricks to where we get to where we are today?
Frog in the boiling pot of water. Turn up the heat incrementally. So in the beginning, if we go back to... the creation of the Federal Reserve, right? There really wasn't income taxes and the way they are here today, right? I mean, now, depending on where you live, what state you live, and certainly depending on what country you live in the world, your taxes could be half or more of your income, okay? And so you go back to a few generations even before us, they didn't have that. And life was different. But you got to realize that life... was highly agricultural too in generations prior to us. When I grew up, we lived in the city, but we grew up in the suburbs, right? And it was a kind of an outdoor sort of lifestyle. We were always out playing and doing things, and you know, it was a kind of a free sort of life. So if you take the fact that a lot of people then moved away from the farms and into the suburbs, and then into the suburbs, into the cities, mm-hmm. and along with that, there was threats of you can't let your child play outside nowadays, right?
Yeah.
They might get stolen and all of these types of things. And long story short, they went from every step of the way, from taxation, from fear-based, from food supply, from education, kept piling on, more and more and more. A great example is the education system. The original traditional education is what's known as the trivium and the quadrivium.
Okay.
The trivium is grammar, debate, rhetoric, and debate. Okay, so grammar is what to think or how to...
Language,
right? How to form... I'm not even doing a good job of that.
How to form sentences.
How to form sentences, how to talk. Rhetoric is how to think and how to, you know, form arguments and debate is how to basically be convincing,
okay.
right? And then the quadrivium is mathematics, geometry, music, and astronomy. Astronomy, believe it or not.
Okay.
Which is... We can get into that another time, but... mathematics is pure numbers. Geometry is numbers in space. Music is numbers in time. And astronomy is numbers in space and time. Okay? You have those seven subjects. You have everything you need to be a human being. You know how to communicate. You know how to do your finances. You know how to take a calculation to build a house
life
or whatever
skills.
You need to do. Right, life
yeah.
skills. Add into that the other piece that should be in every education in America, which should be civics, government,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
Which has now been highly taken out. So now we're not even taught about the Constitution or any of these things. So slowly but surely, they eroded the every aspect of the trivium and the quadrivium. You look at Common Core in mathematics. 1 + 1 = 3 if you can emotionally
yeah.
make a good argument
yeah.
why that might be, right? You look at our language. We've gone so far away from traditional language. Now we have things like LOL,
yeah,
right? LMAO and all these
yeah.
other things, right? So everything, every aspect of it has changed and has become, I would say, in a lot of ways, looser, in a lot of ways...
Diluted,
more silly, but... They've done that in pretty much everything in life, right? It's the powers that be that want
right.
to force change in the world, and they've slowly but surely raised the heat on the frog in the pot of water to the point that it's now just below boiling. But two generations ago, it wasn't like that. people were like, a little bit of change, I don't like it, but it's so minor.
Right.
Am I going to argue about that?
Right.
And then a little more gets added on, and it's the same attitude. That's why a lot of times they'll pulse these things in, and we saw it with 9/11, right? There was this heavy-handedness of right after 9/11 of
surveillance and keeping you safe. And
you couldn't go through the airport
Patriot
without
Act.
Taking off every
you
know, every aspect of your clothing to be able to get through security. And
it was
then
all for the greater good of who we are to keep us safe.
They pull it back, right?
Yeah.
They pull it back. Same thing with COVID. COVID came in, I mean, it was heavy-handed for the last 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And now you see the gradual pullback, right?
Right.
And aspects of that will now stick.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like we talked about before, like fear is one of the greatest weapons. You know,
probably the greatest.
The number one.
Right.
Yeah.
It stops the brain from being able to logically think. When your brain is flooded with the chemicals that fear produces, your brain literally cannot logically think anymore. You stop and you become fight or flight. That's it.
But you kind of give away, you kind of look to someone else.
Of course, yeah.
It's like you're looking to someone else that you perceive as more equipped than you are.
The easy,
take this on, whatever it is.
Yeah, the easiest thing in life would be to seek somebody else to help solve that problem, right?
Because you're not left to your own accord at that point.
Of course, yeah.
So when you're looking at, like, if we're, like, looking at the 80s or the 90s or whatever, do you think, we just talked a little bit about, like, when the internet kind of came about.
Yeah.
Do you think that that was something that gave a lot of people, you know, a tool to actually start to question things a little bit differently? Because I don't think you could find a lot. I mean, you're not going to go to the Dewey Decimal System and find some of this stuff, right?
Right. Yeah, unless you've got access to the Library of Congress or the Vatican Library or something. But
wouldn't that be a fun field trip?
Yeah, it would be amazing. Yeah, I think the internet got away from the powers that be.
I do too.
I really think that they didn't anticipate how much there was a demand for people seeking knowledge. Like,
right.
Ultimately, I think there was a lot of people out there saying, something just doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. Let me see if there's anybody else thinking like I am. And they used the internet and they began to connect and organize. Now, if you look at the internet, even compared to when we were talking about, like in the late 90s,
right,
when you could, you know, you could find all this information out. Now you find it, it's trash. I mm-hmm. mean, do a Google search, and I just did one today. I got to think of what it was. I can't even think of what it was. But I did a Google search, and everything came back was what I would say the party line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was all official, you know. Nothing in there was even slightly controversial in what came back. And the funny thing of it was is it said something like 30,000 results at page 4.
Wow.
At page 4, there was no more. There was not another link to click on.
Really?
So it made me wonder, like, well, is there really 30,000 results anymore? I mean, are they just saying that?
Interesting.
Everything, it feels so controlled and manipulated now. Just like our movies, just like our television, everything, particularly on the run-up to COVID. I don't know if you noticed this, but in the run-up to COVID, my wife and I would comment, like, Hollywood cannot make a good movie anymore.
No.
Everything was dark and sinister. It felt really heavy. We really, for the most part, didn't go see very many movies.
We haven't been in a movie theater for 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we just haven't done that. But that goes back to, like you're talking about the frog in the boiling water. Mm-hmm. You know, it goes back to the psychological warfare that happens on people. And we know, the MK Ultras, all the different projects and things like that. So can you explain a little bit more, like, how that actually works?
Okay. So trauma-based mind control is a way to be able to separate you into, there's two different ways. Number one, it can actually fracture you into a separate personality that can be easily controlled and manipulated. But it's also a way to increase fear so much that you are seeking that savior that we were talking about.
Right.
So the MK Ultra mind control is actually... There's a very scientific method that they use within people that actually are involved in that. But to some degree, we're all placed through that.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
I don't think anybody today is getting away without having some sort of programming.
So one of the things in MK Ultra is the lack of identification of the face. So mm-hmm. they mask people so that you can't see the expression, you can't really know the person, right?
Right.
Because so much is of communication is more than just what we
expression.
Say.
Expression. Mm-hmm. Right.
And so they do masking. So what did we go through for the last couple of years,
yes.
right?
Yes.
They keep you apart.
Isolation.
Right. So, and there's a lot of, there's a lot more aspects to it, but it's a huge, huge ritual, very scientifically based, that they know what the outcome will be. They know that they'll be able to fracture part of your psyche away from you so that they can control you.
Well, and I think what you said about the families, I think because the families not only are influencing, but they're also protecting. They're also a lot of those kinds of things.
Yep.
And when you put them into these systems, you know, and if you look at schools today, too, and I know we're going to do that at a different time, but if you look at schools today, I'm looking at some of these teachers that are there. The messages to these children, they've taken kindness and weaponized it against children.
Mm.
And like when you said, Hitler said, give me the kids and we can make it go faster. I think today is so exponentially faster in what they're doing with the kids right now to the younger generation. That so when someone has that, like what you're talking about, like the fear-based or the trauma-based mind control, so much of that too is based in sexual too as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like the kids right now with all the hypersexuality part of it.
Yep.
So where do you think that they're like a caveat to where people can actually intercede? To where, like, if you know this is happening in your kid's school or in your family and you're looking at this or you're looking at your community and you're like, so is it something that people can actually push back on, or do they have to step to the right and just kind of...
Yeah, the power all lies with us.
Right.
So, you know, you and I talked about this the last time, that I always want to bring a message of hope and I always want to bring a message of solutions. And the truth of the matter is that everything is free will. So mm-hmm. everything is basically by contract, right? And we talked about this a little bit before
yes.
we started recording, that during COVID, the reason why really they didn't go door to door with the police trying to jab a shot into your arm is because at the end of the day, it has to be by free will.
Right.
Right. That is what has been given to us by our Creator. It cannot be taken away from us. It can be coerced. It can feel like it's, you can feel like it's, you know, like you don't have
against
a choice.
Against your will, right.
But you do. It's free will. So I think that everybody needs to understand is that sometimes making a choice isn't without consequence or cost, right? But you have to begin to think about what is the greater cost to you. So stepping to the right when you see an abuse happening, I mean, not only... In my opinion, not only is that something like you cowered it out,
mm-hmm.
but you're going to be held accountable for that
right.
in this life or the next. I mean, I think we owe it to anybody who isn't able to take care of themselves, and that's anybody who's being abused, whether that's a woman, a child.
Right.
A
vulnerable person.
Any
like that,
vulnerable person who's being abused or taken advantage of. You owe it to them, to society, and to yourself to step in and say something. And it's one of those that you can't think about the consequence. You can't think about the cost, because that might stop you from doing the right thing.
So taking your question right now, and this is just manipulation at this point. So that same exact mindset is put on people who chose not to wear a mask, who chose not to get the jab, because they're like, well, you're not willing to step in and help.
Right.
Right? So, and I heard that so much to our people, right? So
yeah.
It's like, so what do you, in that instance,
mm-hmm.
you know, it goes back to, I was told all the time, you're selfish. I'm like, no, I actually am. The more that I take care of me,
right.
the better, which is my sovereign duty, the,
mm-hmm.
the better I am. But there's that interesting, and it's like the social justice, whatever you want to talk about it. In that split second with someone, do you really have an opening if someone's driven that way to actually push back or to help in that way?
Yeah, that's a great, great question and a difficult dilemma. Right.
Right,
I mean,
right.
because every one of those situations, we all went through them. All of those situations are tough ones to
mm-hmm.
answer. Like, what do you do in this instance? In some of those instances, the juice probably isn't worth the squeeze, right?
Right.
So it's probably just walk away. I mean,
right.
you know, if you've ever done, did you ever study martial arts?
No, Tom did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one of the things that they teach you, one of the very first things they teach you is that there's really no winner in a fight, right?
Right.
Every fight is really a dangerous situation, and basically both parties are going to lose in the fight. And the best way is to walk away. Mm-hmm. So you got to look at it and go, in a lot of these situations, like, do I even know this person? Am I ever going to run into this person again? Is it even worth the time to argue with them? Because like we talked about last time, you can be right and still be wrong.
Oh,
right?
Exactly.
Like
exactly.
You can sit there and you're completely right. But what did you walk away from?
Right.
With that? Was it a positive experience in life, or was it, you know, bad? And I guess in some of the cases where you're getting kicked out of a store, like we all did.
Right.
Not the only store.
Well, I think the intention part of it is that if you're debating that with someone, or you're coming to someone else's aid, or you believe that I'm not going to do this because of this, the intention is that you're standing up for what you perceive as truth.
Right.
The other person's intention is you have to think exactly the way that I do, or we can't communicate.
Yeah.
So there's like a forcibility, and this is what's so funny about how, especially with a lot of the kids I work with, they go back and forth with this. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, well, aren't we supposed to be kind? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I said, but if you tolerate something, they will dominate it.
Right.
I go, you can look at the world today right now and realize, and I don't think you can look at anything today, even like all of our conversations, without some sort of a biblical lens.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think at the end of the day, that's the underbelly of what we're dealing with. And I don't think people understand to what degree that might be, which I do want to get into that, you know, at another podcast, because I think that that's one of the things that's like my driver and your driver is the mm-hmm. fact that, you know, whenever I speak about this to anyone, it's like, but you have to go a whole layer down from where you're at. Otherwise, you're not convicted.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be convicted in what you want to do. And that's why with the mind stuff, I posted something the other day. It was so funny. And this guy's like, I get beat up all the time. It's fun. But this one guy said to me, he goes, you must have your head examined to listen to Bible stories.
Mm.
And I said, well, actually, I said, I'd have to have my head examined if I didn't listen to them. And it was because he just kept coming at me or whatever. And then I told him, I said, apparently what you're understanding is a very diluted mm-hmm. version of what we're dealing with if you can't look at it today. So mentally, do you think that someone, in order to be able to come to a clear understanding, has to have some sort of that, of some sort of a biblical truth? Or do you think that there's no, it can be straight across the board?
Do you mean an understanding of?
Of the truth of kind of the way things are in the world right now, to look at like all the manipulation when you're talking about the frog in the water, like all these things, like even like what happened during COVID, like all the destruction mm-hmm. and all the, you know, all of it. And we know it's been done our countries for decades, I mean, for hundreds of years, right? It always repeats a cycle to get to the ultimate, which is totalitarian, right?
Yeah.
That's like the ultimate. So it's kind of like a dog eat dog. It eventually, and then they get a few people along the way,
mm-hmm.
you know, but do you think that in order for someone to see clearly at some point in time, they have to have some sort of a truth like that?
No, I actually don't, believe it or not. It's probably different than what you thought I was going to say.
But, no, whatever.
But I know several people who are in our camp, so to speak, who see what's going on, who have varying degrees of belief.
Right.
In I'd say all of them have a belief in a creator, right?
Okay.
But not, I know several who don't take any time to read the Bible or study it or try and discern down what the biblical meanings of mean for us today,
mm-hmm.
okay? What I think is that there probably will be a point in the future in which there'll be decisions that'll have to be made, that having that biblical platform will be necessary. And so I don't know the timing on this. Nobody does. But if we are to believe the book of Revelation, the mm-hmm. book of Daniel, and then certainly lots of prophecies in the book of Isaiah and other places in the Bible, even in the Gospels, there's a point in the history of the world in which the prince and principalities, which are essentially controlled by Satan, choose to want to bring together the whole world under one world government and one world religion, and are wanting to force fealty to the Antichrist, which is Satan embodied.
Right.
And it'll require a one-world monetary system, which you see that the dominoes lining up for that right now.
Right.
With without understanding that, I struggle to understand how somebody could totally comprehend what's being played against them
for the
future. But as of today, I think that I know a lot of people who don't necessarily have any religious upbringing, don't have any necessarily deep religious, you know, beliefs, but yet, you know, still believe in a creator, who are very conscious of what's going on and very much on our side.
Well, it's interesting. So just with this being June Pride Month, right?
Juneteenth coming
exactly.
up.
Exactly. So I started doing, I know it's made up stuff, but I started like looking into Pride Month, and like, and everything is connected. People have to understand that our kids are being attacked and being confused for a reason. Mm-hmm. The transgender is an attack on women 100%. There's all these things, right? And so I started doing some digging about like the Stonewall back in 1969. And it was interesting because I didn't know that. So that was like the initial one, right? That was like the initial. If you look up Stonewall 1969.
This is interesting.
So Stonewall happened in 1969, which was a gay bar that was under attack, riots, and they escalated to levels of just complete destruction. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the police and everything were barricaded inside. Anyway, that was supposedly a 2,000-year awakening of, you know, like the demonic part of it.
Oh, interesting.
So then you go in from there, and then not until 2003. By the way, Stonewall was June 26, 1969. Mm-hmm. And so I'll send you some stuff because it's pretty fascinating. And then fast forward, the Supreme Court, June 26, 2003, mm-hmm. Made it legal for a same-sex relationship, right? Mm-hmm. June 26, 2013, mm-hmm. same exact thing. It was a Defense of Marriage Act. Was then shifted, and then June 26, 2015. These are all chronological, and so that's why I'm asking you about the biblical part of it, or the prophecy part of it, because I think whether you know or you don't know, all this is underlying to get us to that point. What you just said to where you're going to have to eventually have something to make that decision, and it is based in that. So it's interesting with the pride part of it when you're looking at everything and the deviancy and the whole thing. And so when I started following that, and I knew we were going to talk about the mental part today, it was like, so how many people look at that? And I have clients of mine who brought their kids to Pride, like, I don't know, 6 years ago when it was no big deal, 7 years ago. And now you look at what's happening. And so, again, it's like, and so much of that of their own community
are breaking away. They don't have anything to do with it.
No, because it's such deviancy, which goes back to biblical truth.
Yeah, well, they're trying to drag the kids into it, right?
Right,
And trying to normalize, as you were saying at the beginning of the podcast, of the very final step is normalization. They're trying to normalize that, right? And, I mean, I didn't know any of this, but I think what's interesting is not knowing anything, I can take a few things away from it that will probably be a little bit helpful. So words have meaning. So Stonewall, I mean, how interesting is that they have a name, right? I mean, it feels like a setup right there to me. Like, oh, it's...
That was the name of the bar.
Right, but it feels like a setup to me that they picked the name of that bar to make it happen. And 100%. I'm not saying they did. I'm just saying it's really coincidental that Stonewall means... It's stonewalling what
you're
our lexicon
somebody.
Means, right, means to basically stop, right?
Right.
To create a barrier to stop something from happening. But then it's really interesting that everything June, right? That's not a coincidence.
No.
Right?
No.
And I was just sitting there doing some of the, and I'm not a numerologist, but I have a basic understanding of it, okay? So what's interesting is you said the first date you said was June 26th, right? Mm-hmm. So if you take...
1969.
Okay. So we could break it down all the way, but if you take... 26, so June is the 6th month, then 26, so if you add 26 to 6, it's 32. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing how many times the numbers 32 and 33 appear in a lot of these things.
Yeah.
And it's also amazing, the other number that I'll tell people to watch for is the number 18. Mm-hmm. The number 18 appears more times than you can possibly imagine, and that is because to derive mathematically at 18, 6 plus 6 plus 6 is 18. So it happens more, like, it'll blow you away.
Yeah, it's watch not for a coincidence.
It, watch for it in movies, in the media. During COVID, it was crazy. It'd be like...
Well, there was always 33. 33
always
deaths today, 33...
Exactly.
It's always
33. 32, 33, 18. There's a few other... 11 is another trigger number. 7 to some degree is a trigger number. Mm-hmm. 9 is a trigger number in that, so...
No, but it was interesting when I was looking at that, and that's why if you look at the play for our friend Klaus Schwab and what he wants to do with the World Economic Forum and just the whole entire thing pushing into transhumanism, yep. where they believe that it still goes back to a biblical message of man believes he can be God.
Right.
You know, ultimately, which if we can you weave in, or is it even possible to do that? The communism part of like the communist movement that people believe that is a benign thing that is good,
right?
Mm-hmm. So is it, and maybe you don't know this or not, but I've heard that, is it true that whenever this happened, a lot of them defected to Africa?
I
need to find that out. So but a lot of them, and so it's like the movement's still there because they had their hand in with, I think I talked last time with Hugh Hefner and Alfred C. Kinsey,
mm-hmm.
the communist movement had their hand in the sexualization of our country and of the American male. And you go back through the education all the way from, I mean, BLM was founded by Marxists.
Right.
I mean, you go back into this whole thing, which is all these movements, which it wasn't it Mikhail Gorbachev that said they would take over the U.S. without firing one shot?
Thank you for listening to this episode of the TLM Nation podcast. I hope you've learned something new and useful. I hope you're willing to ask questions and to seek truth and be bold in that. Please subscribe, drop us 5 stars and a great review, and we'll see you next time.